Good morning, all. My name is Dr. Janet Hines, and I am the Director of Spiritual Formation here at Sanctuary Columbus Church. If this is your first time visiting us on YouTube, I'd like to wish you a warm welcome. This morning, I'd like to open my time with you by reading this short essay on the effects of the practice of unceasing prayer. Prayer catapults us onto the frontier of spiritual life. Of all the spiritual practices, prayer is the most central because it ushers us into perpetual communion with God the Father. For example, spiritual practices such as meditation, silence, and solitude introduce us to the inner life. It is the practice of prayer that brings us into the deepest and highest work of the human spirit. Real prayer is life-creating and life-changing. Prayer, secret, fervent, believing prayer, lies at the root of all personal godliness, as stated in Galatians 5:22-23. To pray is to change. Prayer is the central avenue God uses to transform us. If we are unwilling to change, we will abandon prayer as a notable characteristic of our lives. The closer we come to the heartbeat of God, the more we see our need, and the more we desire to be conformed to Christ. When we pray, God slowly and gracefully reveals to us our evasive actions regarding prayer and sets us free from them. In prayer, real prayer, we begin to think God's thoughts after Him, to desire the things He desires, to love the things He loves, to do the things He wills. Progressively and formatively, we are taught to see things from His point of view. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity together. We would ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive this word, Father, that we can be formed in Christ. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name, amen. We began the year here at Sanctuary talking about prayer and its benefits. Since the beginning of the year, from the 2nd to the 30th, Pastor Rich and Michael Morgan have been talking to us about prayer, all forms of prayer, every benefit of prayer, the drawing need of prayer. And today, my topic is about unceasing prayer. My text is taken from 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says, pray continually, constantly, and never stop praying. When I think about the word cultivating, I immediately think about gardening, planting flowers, and watching them flourish. Also, the word cultivating brings to mind something I have done that will be lasting, like cultivating my children's desire to read and to rest on their own. Or the simple thing of being on time. Cultivating means to have a practice or manner of something that is lasting and valuable, like prayer. Here are some scriptures that call us to be cultivators of a practice of unceasing prayer. Romans 12:12 says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Ephesians 6:18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of God's people. Actually, we can pray without ceasing because life offers us a multitude of opportunities to practice praying. Unceasing opportunities to pray and be in the presence of the will of God. For example, we unceasingly pray for our homes, for our children and their schools, for our grandchildren and family members and friends, and the body of Christ, His church. We unceasingly pray for strength and help and health and perseverance and endurance and our developing character. So you might be wondering who taught me to pray. It was my grandmother who taught me to pray, and she prayed a lot. So many times I walked in to her bedroom without knowing that she would be praying. And I remember always just tiptoeing out and closing the door ever so quiet. And then my sisters learned to pray as well. Prayer was such a big thing with my grandmother, and I'm assuming it's because she knew that she needed to pray about things that she couldn't handle herself. Continually, constantly, and never are attributes found in our ability to persist, persevere, and endure when the time calls for such a stance. In 1 Peter 4:7, it says, "Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray." Even the disciples recognized there was something particularly special about Jesus' practices of hiding away and withdrawing. They watched and recognized the unceasing manner in which Jesus stayed in communion with God the Father. So much so that the disciples did ask Jesus about this practice of prayer. And they did ask that he would teach them how to pray. So in Luke 11:2-4, he did such a thing. He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our sins as we forgive everyone who sinned against us, and lead us not into temptation.'" So you might be asking, so what isn't unceasing prayer? Well, God is not expecting us to pray 24/7. He's not even expecting us to become someone totally dedicated to Christianity, such as a monk or a nun, or someone that feels called to do absolutely nothing but intercede for the world. Romans 12:12 says, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." Ephesians 6:18 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kind of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of God's people." So, do we believe that this is possible? Yes, it is possible. And God wants us to do this. He does want us to pray unceasingly as we mature and take on the mind of Christ. And yes, anything can be a reality if we make space in our lives for this reality to materialize. But we have to want it and welcome it. Then we can know that it is possible by the fruit we continue to bear. Here are some examples of historic comments on the ability to pray unceasingly. Brother Lawrence, who always talked about his intimacy with God, he says, "There is no mode of life in the world more pleasing and more full of delight than continual conversation with God." And Frank Lebault, who was a missionary in the Philippines, and he also was the gentleman that wrote the book on each one teach one. This thing of keeping in constant touch with God, of making him the object of my thoughts and the companion of my conversations, is the most amazing thing I've ever come across. And St. John of the Ladder advises, let the memory of Jesus combine with your breath. He was talking about breath prayer, the same breath prayer in the contemplative moment that we have at church every Sunday. Julia of Norwich says, prayer unites the soul to God. Here is a quote in Richard Foster's book titled Prayer. When the Spirit has come to reside in someone, that person cannot stop praying, for the Spirit prays without ceasing in him. Prayer is going on in his heart all the time. The incense of prayer will ascend spontaneously from his heart. That is a quote from Isaac the Syrian. And I know that sometimes we have this hum going on in our heart, and we may sing a worship song that we've heard on Sunday, and it is now Thursday, and you cannot get that song out of your heart, or the pastor or someone else might have spoken God's word to you, and you just keep remembering and remembering, and every morning that you wake up, that thought is on your mind. It's unceasing prayer to the Father. Jesus encourages us about unceasing prayer, and it's described like this. It represents both the unbroken communion and the practice of being continual in the presence of God. Jesus encourages us regarding unceasing prayer. In Luke 18, he says, men and women should always pray and not lose heart. Jesus means that prayer is to become a way of life for the believer that distinguishes us from the rest of the world. We know that we are in unceasing prayer when we don't lose heart, because we know that the Father will always be there for us. You know, Dallas Willard was talking about ways in which to be in communion with the Father, but also how this communion translates for us to keep us strong in the Spirit, to make us strong at times of just unceasing failure or financial difficulties or health and all of these things. That unceasing prayer that's going on in our hearts are keeping us. They're keeping us from losing heart. The ordinary circumstances of life can always burden us, but there's always the activity of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and that there are intentional practices that we can use to strengthen us, like breath prayer. Remembering the word of God and speaking it over and over and over again so that we are strengthened. Jesus was always in communion with his Father. He never had an opportunity where he didn't know what to do. And that was because he was always in communion with his Father. Dallas Willard reminds us of this little thing that used to go through the country on, what was the term? Oh, what would Jesus do? And if you really think about it, there was never an opportunity that Jesus did not know what to do. He always knew what to do. And he also said to us, I don't do anything unless my Father tells me to do it. So he was never on the spot, like, what would Jesus do? Which kind of intimates he had to think about what he would do when he was called upon to lay hands on someone, to bring them back from the dead, and so forth. He never stopped to think about what he needed to do. In actuality, he was never on the spot. He knew what to do every time. And that's what God is calling us to do, to that same place of never being on the spot, but knowing what to do, knowing how to trust the Father for your needs. Peter, 2 Peter 1, 3 to 11, says this: His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, unceasingly make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities associated with unceasing prayer, in increasing measure they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive on the spot in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I had a personal issue that happened to me this year. Last year was more than a few of us that suffered here at Sanctuary. Our struggles have been hard and benign. And in preparation for this sermon, while reading, I came upon a portion of the text that was somewhat of an answer to this knowing that I had in my spirit about the effects of the loss of my daughter on my physical and emotional well-being. I had this knowledge, this knowing, this assurance in my spirit that with each hard emotional occurrence of lament, I never hit rock bottom. I never found myself on the spot. I never bottomed out. And that was because of prayer, unceasing, consistent prayer. Here's a direct quote from the text I was reading at the time. The kingdom of God becomes our compass and our lens, that is, our direction, but also the way by which we see our lives and our world. As we learn to pray and learn to do it regularly, consistently, and persistently, for the very simple reason, this is the reason why, that the impact of our prayers is their cumulative effect. At the beginning of the message, I was talking about spiritual transformation and how the practice of prayer is a transformer. Prayer will transform your life. Prayer will keep you off being on the spot. As we, like Jesus, showed us, by being in continual prayer, persistent, regular prayer, we will never be found on the spot. We will never be found wanting because of that cumulative effect of prayer in our lives. So spiritual transformation happens through prayer. If transformation does not happen through our prayers, it's likely not to happen at all. no abiding, no intimacy with the Father, no bearing of fruit. A tree in season feeds no one, not even ourselves. But through consistent and unceasing prayer, in the time the kingdom becomes second nature to us, we know what to expect. We know how to abide. We know how to persevere. We know how to endure. It is our way of being, of seeing and responding to our world and the circumstances that we face, the good, the bad, the encouraging, and the challenging. As James said, don't be surprised at the weight that is upon you right now and the trial that you're going through. Don't be surprised. But with your heart filled with prayer, you can endure anything and you can know that God will come to your aid speedily. The word in Philippians says, let your requests be known unto God in prayer. The Lord is right here. You don't have to worry about anything, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all of your understanding, will keep your heart and your mind on Christ Jesus. So through consistent, unceasing prayer, we come into greater alignment with the reign of Christ in our lives and in our world. We become men and women of the kingdom. So in closing, this is the last message in our series of prayer, but it's not the last time you'll hear us talk about prayer. Prayer is a lifestyle, and we want to cultivate a lifestyle of prayer at Sanctuary Columbus Church. So remember that book that you got, the prayer guide? Make sure you're using it. It will help you to stay in the place that you want to stay in Christ. It'll help you not feel helpless in the middle of the night. It will help you see that God is ready, willing, and able to answer every prayer. And it will give you strength. Your prayers will give you strength to stand until they materialize. Now, I want to also invite you to pray with a friend or pray with a group of friends. But unceasing prayer, intense and fervent prayer, will answer every question that you have. And I want to also ask you to look in scheduling a time for spiritual direction to discern where God is at work in your growing prayer life. Well, I thank you very much for joining us this morning, even though it was on YouTube, and it's cold outside, and it's slippery outside. But if you have the need for prayer, you can just sit down right now, and you can tell God all about it. Speak to Him, spend time with Him. Make it a time every day that you focus on your Father before anything else. I know so many of us are different and in different places. We have children to get off to school. We have husbands and wives going off to work, and we have to go off to work and everything. But if you pray first, your day will go well, because you will have the strength that you need to get through it. So I'm going to close with prayer. Why don't you pray with me a moment and ask God to show you how to make that intentional time, when you can have that intentional time. Press into God. The Holy Spirit will show you to be focused on the Spirit of God. Now, we have prayer practices that are important, and we actually practice one here at Sanctuary every Sunday morning we have a contemplative moment, just 90 seconds to just breathe in and breathe out and focus on the Word of God. And we also have Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina is a prayer practice that actually moves the Word of God from your mind to your heart. Sometimes we read the Word, we thank God for the Word, and we walk away from it for the day. But there's something more genuine, a more genuine way of reading and recognizing that God is there and that He is speaking to you through His Word. So there's just four steps to Lectio Divina. There is, number one, find a scripture. Maybe start in the Gospels or pray the Psalms. Sit with the Lord, read a passage, and then think about it. Think about what shimmered for you. And then read the passage again. And then journal. Just write a few things that touched your heart about this type of prayer or the context in which you read. Just take a few moments. Write something down. And then give thanks for that time with the Father. There are lots of prayer practices that you can embody and make a part of your life. But the point is, pray unceasingly. Every day, consistently. God will never leave you nor forsake you, and you will know it. So, Father, we just thank you for this time together today. We thank you for teaching us about unceasing prayer. We thank you, Father, about teaching us about Lectio Divina and breath prayer, Father. We thank you, Lord, that our prayer, Lord God, is like a buffer for us. It becomes cumulative in our hearts. It holds us steady when things are falling apart for us because we know that you will never leave nor forsake us. Father, I ask a blessing today on your body in Jesus' name. Amen.